So, when you look at fossil records, we can use things like which plants were here to really help build that understanding of climate. So we're able to figure out, what were these animals eating? How did we put together the kind of biogeography of the system based on those?
In this exhibit, what are some of the dinosaurs that you're going to be highlighting? What's some of the stuff that you're going to be highlighting for, well, for the guests?
So we have a dozen different dinosaurs, from the ones you're going to recognize, the velociraptors, the stegosauruses, the triceratops, to some that you may not have heard of before. So Carnotaurus, Amargosaurus. So there's some really interesting ones that may not be kind of top of mind. Everyone knows their T-Rex, everyone knows their triceratops, but this definitely has a few new ones as well.
And you also, part of the exhibit I notice is it's showing the life of, the people who are out there digging for these fossils.
It does, because one of the things we really want to do, and I think this exhibit does really well, is introduce our visitors to the skills that they might need to be a paleontologist, to be a scientist, to be a researcher, to understand, how you put together facts and kind of what it takes to piece together a story. And so we do. We start the exhibit in the past, and we look at some of the great dinosaur fossil hunters here in the US and what tools they would have had out in the field. And some of the tools are very, very similar to the same tools you'd use today. It's backpacks, it's journals, it's tiny hammers and chisels and brushes, because it's a very delicate work. You've got to take the time to really be careful that you're doing this well. And so it takes you through comparisons of then and now, and there's a lot of similarities, but then we get back into the lab, and that's where the differences really start to come out.
And the dinosaurs that you have, these are animatronics. So they're, I mean, they're basically robots and they move. I also noticed a couple of them, you can actually move them. You can push the buttons and make them do things.
You can. So, the museum's all about kind of hands-on interactivity. So, in this exhibit, too, visitors are allowed to come in and manipulate the actions of the dinosaurs. Some of them have motion sensors on. So, as you walk past, they come to life. Maybe I shouldn't tell you that. But no, it really is. And of course, then visitors can also see our permanent dinosaur collection, where we have a small permanent dinosaur collection that has a T-Rex skull and Triceratops skull, dinosaur eggs, and kind of explore what we have here at the museum year-round.
You mentioned it a couple times, so let's get into it. The issue of climate change, it's a natural process, but how are you going to bring the issue up in, when you're talking about dinosaurs and the different dinosaur eras, to what we know today about the issue of climate change and how it impacts us?
Climate change and resiliency are so key to us here in South Florida, and being able to use fossils to study climate. Weather's what happens outside every day. Climate is what happens over long periods of time, decades, millennia, eons. And so we can look at this and we can study. You can go back millions of years and look at, core samples that have been taken in Greenland that show you carbon dioxide levels versus heat temperatures around the world and see the correlation. And okay, where does that become different? That becomes different when human CO2 level started to just explode. And so using data, using research, really understanding, facts. So the exhibit doesn't get into why or how or if or but it's really about giving kids the skills to understand that they should do the research.
And that's the other thing. This is a very complex issue. So how do you present it for children so it's digestible and interesting? It's going to be fun.
It does, and I think it all has to start with earth science. Earth science and the understanding of geology, of our planet, of our world. You know, it's really hard to understand climate change if you don't understand how the world works. And so that's where we start with really elementary earth science conversations.
I'm talking with Joe Cox, president and CEO of the Museum of Discovery and Science in Fort Lauderdale. They have a new exhibition. It's called Expedition Dinosaur, and it's on display now through May 25th. You can find photos and videos on our social media at WLRN Sundial. So also a part of the exhibit, and any exhibit like this, is to open up the possibility for kids to be interested in different sciences, paleontology, et cetera. Do you get the sense kids today are still interested in this? Considering we live in this very high-tech world and a lot of kids' attention tends to be on a screen, but are they still interested in this stuff?
I think so. I mean, I think if you look at attendance numbers of museums where they have dinosaur exhibits or special dinosaur exhibits, the Smithsonian just opened a spectacular new dinosaur exhibit. Museum store sales, dinosaurs are always really popular. My 4.5-year-old niece and nephew love their dinosaurs. I think it's just one of those things that it's so awe-inspiring and so magnificent and so exciting. Opening up in February, first dinosaur IMAX that's been made in 10 years. Imagine sitting in our IMAX theater and seeing a life-size dinosaur come roaring towards you. Based on, you know, National Science Foundation-funded research, it's going to be spectacular. And I think museums do that, right? Museums are a place where, you know, we inspire that sense of discovery. And, you know, our mission is connecting people to inspiring science. What's more inspiring than coming face-to-face with a dinosaur, but also being given the tools to understand how you could become a paleontologist.
And the exhibit also focuses on new technology that's being used in paleontology. I mean, you talked about the old tools, but technology is playing a big role today.
It really is, and everything from LIDAR scans to identify fossil sites, 3D scanning of actual fossils to really understand them, preserve them, study them without, you know, damaging them, because, you know, they can often be fragile, often be heavy, you know, being able to replicate them and do really authentic 3D replicas of fossils so that they can be shared and studied, you know, being able to manipulate them digitally to see how their bodies moved, how they actually stood, how they walked, how they run, you know, what their colors may have been. You know, that's one of the most fascinating things to me is I grew up with these gray, blocky dinosaurs, and they were all gray and all the same color. And, you know, now we know that in all likelihood, dinosaurs were, you know, every color of the rainbow. If they had feathers, we look at birds in the world today, why would they not have been as resplendent as, you know, a quetzal or a parrot or a hummingbird?
Last couple things. I heard you say when you were walking us through the tour that we're making a lot of new discoveries all the time. I mean, it seems like, I mean, we've discovered so much, but really there's still a lot more to uncover. There's still a lot more to dig up.
There really is. You know, some of the statistics as to, you know, what it takes for an animal to have been fossilized, you know, whether it's one in a million, one in X million, you know, what we know of the world, you know, we literally, when you look at paleontologists out in the field, we're literally scratching the surface. And so there's so much more to be discovered, you know, with plate tectonics and how the world has shifted over time, what has been buried, what has been destroyed. They're still pulling, you know, prehistoric animals out of the La Brea tar pits. So there's a lot more to be discovered. There's a lot more opportunities for paleontologists. And, you know, we hope that one of the kids walking through the museum today ends up being a paleontologist that makes a huge discovery 20 years down the road.
So that means there could be dinosaurs we haven't discovered yet.
Oh, I'm sure there are dinosaurs we haven't discovered yet. You know, every day we're finding bigger, larger, smaller, more bizarre options. So, yeah, there's a lot more out there to be discovered.
Last thing, your favorite dinosaur and why?
So my favorite dinosaur is absolutely a Stegosaurus. Growing up, I always thought they were just so cool with the plates and, you know, there they are, the nice little herbivores running around doing their own quiet life. And then I was very fortunate to work at a wonderful museum in Massachusetts, the Ecotarium, where they had a model of a Stegosaurus who was part of the 1964-65 World's Fair in New York. So he was very much a mascot of the city, and I got to have a dinosaur of my own for a while. So Stegosaurus all the way.